Welcome back to High Value Dating. Ladies, today's episode I'm dedicating to you. If you are looking to get with a high value man, I'm going to share all of the secrets that I hear from high value men as a matchmaker on a daily basis. And there are some common denominators that I think if you start implementing into your dating life will take you a lot further than wherever you are now. So if you are comfortable with uncomfortable truths, this episode is for you. Keep listening. Hey there, it's your girl, Nellie, matchmaker and dating coach. We talk about all things high value dating, how to meet your person, how to find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy, and also how to become a high value single. Because as I always say, we don't attract what we want in life, we attract what we are. So if that sounds interesting to you, please make sure you follow and subscribe to this podcast. And I can't wait to take you along this journey. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast. So today I want to keep it real with you guys, because I personally wish someone had told me this information sooner. And when I started to learn more about what men in particular were looking for in women by speaking to men, quite frankly, and asking them, please do not sugarcoat it. Be honest with me. Be, you know, very blunt with me. Because I wanted to be as equipped as possible to succeed in the dating marketplace and get the caliber of guy I was looking to get, the information that I got from men really did change my trajectory. It opened my eyes. In a lot of ways, it set me free. And I always say the truth will set you free. Now, before I kind of dive into some of the common denominators that I hear across the board from men every single day, because I do matchmaking and majority of my clients are men. Majority of my male clients, by the way, are high value men. I would say all of them, scratch that, are high value men. And when I say high value, and I've spoken about this before, I'm talking about, you know, affluent, good looking guys who have leverage in the dating market, right? The top tier guys that most women say that they want to be with. These are the guys that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. These are the guys that pay me tens of thousands of dollars to set them up. So, you know, if you are not looking for a man like this, this information might not be necessary to you in terms of your search and pursuit of love with a high value partner. But at the end of the day, this is the High Value Dating Podcast. So I imagine if you're listening to it, then this is probably somewhat in line with what you're looking for. But yeah, I mean, I've shared this information before in my private coaching group, Queen of Hearts. I've shared this information with my female friends. And in all transparency, I've also shared it on social media and I've gotten a lot of pushback. I've had a lot of women who do not like this type of advice because it's uncomfortable and it's not exactly politically correct. It's not exactly in line with what our best friend will tell us or our dad will tell us. And unfortunately, a lot of us, including myself, sometimes have people that we don't even realize are shielding the truth from us because they're trying to spare our feelings. And that is absolutely understandable. But again, if you are trying to achieve something in life, whether it's a business goal, an academic goal, a love goal, having honest people around you who will tell you uncomfortable truths can actually go a long way. And so that's essentially what I'm going to do on this podcast episode. And I want to just make sure I'm managing all of your expectations so that, you know, no one is caught off guard by any of the information, which I don't even think, by the way, should be that shocking. But I do feel a need to kind of preface it by essentially making a disclaimer that I'm not trying to offend anyone. I am just simply relaying the information that I hear from men across the board. And I want this to be useful to you. So take it and leverage it if you really are looking for love with a high value partner. With all that, let's just dive right in. So across the board, and I'm going to start with answers, then I'm going to drill into each of them. I tend to hear from most high value men, I would say actually all high value men, that they are looking for women who are feminine, nurturing, agreeable, pleasant/positive to be around, friendly, in shape, fit, typically a little more slender in build, and who are actually willing to be a team player. Cooperative, for lack of a better word, be cooperative. And usually, you know, when I speak to clients, there will be kind of other things that come up. Like, for example, some clients are only trying to date within their religion. So they might add on, you know, religious compatibility. Some clients, you know, they want certain looks, like some guys like brunettes, some guys like blondes, some guys like a more exotic look, some guys like a more Scandinavian look, right? Those types of things is really going to drill and boil down to the individual. But at a high level, in speaking to countless men, thousands of men, it usually goes back to those things: friendliness, cooperativeness, femininity, a woman who is agreeable to a degree and who's in shape and, you know, disciplined. So let's start with agreeable and cooperative, because this is something that I think is actually pretty easy to control. And it really just boils down to having the ability to manage your emotions and self-regulate. A lot of women who I've spoken to, they almost feel like this is some kind of form of defeat, or being submissive is, it goes against the fabric of who they are. You know, I will never submit to a man, or I will never get on a man's program, or why do I have to agree with him? Why can't he agree with me? And I totally understand that school of thought. But if you think about the characteristics of a high value man, right? Someone who's a leader, someone who has the ability to succeed and who is successful, most likely he's also got a certain lifestyle that he's created for himself. And a lot of these men, they are willing to compromise and kind of co-create a life with someone. But the idea of a man just completely bending to you as a woman is probably going to lead to you eventually resenting him and wanting someone more alpha, for lack of a better word, or more masculine in energy. And so if you want a guy who has masculine energy, you have to be willing to step into your feminine energy. And a component of feminine energy is your ability as a woman to a degree, submit, and to a degree, be agreeable and be cooperative, be a team player. The women I see who are my way or the highway in terms of how they go about their business and their life, they might attract a high value man, especially if they're very beautiful on the outside. But that type of persona, that's not going to retain a high value man. And at the end of the day, success, in my opinion, as far as relationships and dating go, it is certainly being able to attract the caliber of person you want, but it's more than that, being able to keep that person. And so as a woman, if you want a guy who is going to lead you, you have to be willing to let him lead you. You have to be willing to let him create, you know, a path for you guys. Now, I can already hear the women listening to this. I can hear your thoughts saying, well, there aren't any guys who are leaders anymore. That is not true. There are, but maybe your energy is repelling them. Maybe they sense your masculine energy from the jump, and they sense your kind of desire to hyper control situations from the jump, and they don't even give you the opportunity because they're looking for women who are in their feminine energy. So think about that. Now, how can you become more agreeable? How can you become more cooperative? A lot of this comes down to being open and willing to co-create a life with someone, and also release the reins on your desire to control. When you feel that impulse coming up, check yourself, you know, pause, reflect. Where is this coming from? Also, a lot of it is potentially rooted in insecurity. Maybe past relationships or past trauma have led you to believe that you can't trust a man, you can't depend on a man. Maybe your mom or your grandmother set that precedent for you, because maybe you come from a divorced household where it was like, never depend on a man. And so you've absorbed that, and it's in turn made you hyper masculine and disagreeable. Okay, but that's still data that you can unpack within your own life and work on. You know, you got to do the healing work. You got to go into the depths of your soul and dust out those corners if you want to be able to attract a man who is solid in his masculinity and able to lead you. So that takes accountability. It takes uncomfortability. It's not fun to do that healing work. I've done it myself. And it also takes practice. You know, practice when you are on dates with men, or even when you're interacting with guys at work, being more open and receptive. And instead of just barking orders, which I'm not saying all of you do, but I know a lot of women, especially if you are successful in your life, this might be something that is a little more default, you know, being willing to ask questions and, you know, ask a man, hey, what do you think? What do you think we should do? Right? At least kind of let him think that he's leading you. You know, those are some examples of ways you can tap into your agreeableness and your cooperativeness. Because I'm telling you right now, I know so many women who get great guys and those relationships fall apart because they're not able to hang up their ego and let go of this, you know, masculine energy that they harbor inside. And men will choose women that are less attractive than them, that are less successful than them, less accomplished than them, if those other women are more feminine, agreeable, cooperative. And so it's in your best interest as a woman, if you've already got it all going on, to work on that, because it really does go a long way. And men at the end of the day, they're pretty simple. They really like to be around women who make them feel like men, and they will choose the woman who they feel like a man around. So that goes down to you being able to understand the male psyche. And yes, of course, there are some guys, you know, I've spoken to some guys who they really like a sassy, bossy lady. They actually find that to be an endearing quality. Interestingly, those men tend to be a lot more beta. They tend to be a lot more in their feminine energy. And that can work, by the way. Like, that dichotomy and dynamic can work for some women. But for a lot of women, even the most successful ones, they tend to resent that, because we as women, I think, do typically like men who are in their masculine energy and who are willing and open to leading us. So if that's the kind of guy you want, it is worthwhile, I think, to go through an exercise with yourself and really look at your behaviors around guys. Look at your vocabulary around men, your actions, your tone of voice. You know, if you are very stern and very kind of bossy in your tonality of voice, that's going to come across as in, you know, you being in your masculine energy. So practice these things, reflect on these things. Also, you know, dig deep, ask yourself, where is this coming from? Why am I so afraid to let a man lead me? Why do I project past relationships onto this one? You know, you can't solve the what if you don't know the why. So I would start there. And I do think that'll get you far. Another thing you can also do is study women who are wives. Study women who are in their feminine energy. Look at their behaviors. Look at how they are acting. You know, are they poised? Are they calm under pressure, right? These are examples that you can look to. You know, a really good example of this, by the way, and this is, by the way, in no means like a political podcast. I was just watching the inauguration yesterday, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. Melania Trump. I don't care if you like her or dislike her, but I don't think it's disputable that the woman is very agreeable, emotionally regulated. You know, she is able to remain calm under pressure. She's in her feminine energy. Yeah, she looks very feminine, but she also has very feminine, agreeable energy, right? There are a lot of women that if their husband said, I'm running for president for a second term and we're going to, you know, be broadcast that way, they wouldn't put up with it. And those women, maybe their relationships wouldn't last as long. I'm not sure. Another example would be someone like Amal Clooney, right? Yeah, she is a powerhouse lawyer. She is very educated, right? She has a huge career on the kind of human rights side, right? She's in a lot of ways an activist too. But she's also gotten on George Clooney's program. She's very feminine, very agreeable, you know, not the loudest person, you know, at all of his award shows. She really kind of lets him lead, and she's the star just in how she carries herself, but she doesn't feel like she needs to steal his shine. And in a lot of ways, that is characteristic of being in your feminine energy. You can have your own professional identity as a woman. You can be successful. In fact, I, in speaking to a lot of men, have heard across the board unanimously almost that is sexy. That's attractive. Guys like a woman who's got her own thing going on, who's got, you know, an impressive job and who has accolades of their own and who's successful. That's all amazing. In fact, it's icing on the cake. Men love it. What they don't love is when that also comes with the attitude that leads to emasculating that man. So if you're able to kind of decompartmentalize your professional life and your personal life, I think it'll get you really far. You might need to switch on and off that feminine and masculine energy depending on the venue, right? I imagine Amal Clooney is probably in her masculine energy when she's in work mode. But when she's in marriage mode, she's probably in her feminine energy. She's being, you know, a nurturing mother, a nurturing wife. She's, you know, probably stroking his ego. In fact, if you listen to any of the award show speeches she's given, all she does is stroke that man's ego, right? She's making him feel like a man. She doesn't feel like she needs to boast about herself. Everyone knows she's impressive. that speaks enough volumes. And so that's an example of just, again, understanding the role that you play as a woman in a high value man's life. And yes, it is a role. You know, different sectors of your life are going to require you to be in different roles, whether that is your role as a mom, your role as a wife, your role as a girlfriend. And so understanding and embracing that role and the different kind of skill sets that are required for it that may be different than the skill sets that are required for your professional life and the role that you play there is going to get you really far. And, you know, I imagine Amal Clooney doesn't view it as defeat when she's at an award show boasting about George Clooney. I imagine, you know, she takes a lot of pride in it because she recognizes that actually will get her farther with that guy. He's going to give her more because she shows up as the most feminine, cooperative version of herself in that marriage. You know, she was a private person before meeting him. And part of being agreeable, while it might not sound like a compromise to all of you, is being willing to be on a public platform, being willing to leave your private life and be a, you know, public person. Again, that might sound enticing to a lot of people, but to a lot of people, it's also not, right? It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable knowing that every time you leave the house, there are going to be cameras and that you have to, you know, be perfect or you're going to be scrutinized. So that's an example of sacrifice that she made. And that's, you know, if we want to take it a step further, another kind of example of being agreeable and cooperative and a team player that has actually probably led to the retention of George Clooney being her husband and the success of that marriage. So those are some examples. And again, I would start studying women who are married to high value men, look at how they act, look at how their marriage is going as best as you can. Obviously, there are always details we're not privy to in the public, but look at those types of relationships. And likewise, look at relationships of people in the public who have not worked out. And ask yourself, does this woman seem like she's in her masculine energy or her feminine energy? Typically, too, when a woman and a guy get together and they get married, if that woman starts to succeed more in that marriage, like let's say she starts off as like a C-list actress and then she gets this crazy movie role and she rises to crazy fame. Or let's say she sells her company for $1 billion, something like that. Most of the time, those relationships crumble. Why? Because if that woman's success level changes, she might be more willing to emasculate that man, even subconsciously and inadvertently. And so that's part of why sometimes, and I have actually had clients like this, women who are really successful, if they get with a guy who's less successful than them, it is likely that that relationship will lead to divorce. They have a 50% higher chance of getting a divorce, and he has a 300% higher chance of cheating. And so, again, understanding that if you want to be with a high-value man, you have to be willing to step into your femininity, make a conscious effort to not emasculate him. And to the women who are cringing and saying, well, he shouldn't be emasculated, he should be a strong guy, take some accountability for the role that you play in your relationships is what I would say to you. Again, if you want them to work, you also play a role, you also play a part, and it's in your best interest to show up as the best version of you in that. If that feels like defeat, you shouldn't be in that relationship. You should probably be with someone who, frankly, would prefer for you to kind of boss them around and is maybe more beta. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either, but not every woman is built for a high-value relationship. It requires a skill set. It requires you being able to manage your emotions, manage your own ego, and know how to show up for that man if you want that relationship to go the distance, and ultimately, if you want to glean the most out of it. Anyways, I could talk about this a lot more, but I want to switch gears after the break and talk about the physical appearance side of things, because we know men are visual creatures, and this would not be a true high-value dating podcast episode if we glazed over that. So stay with me, and we'll chat all that and more after the break. Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So as mentioned before, I also want to talk about physical appearance, how you show up visually in the dating market. Because in speaking to a lot of men, I do hear across the board pretty consistently that they like women who are fit and in shape. Now, of course, some of my clients like a more skinny woman. Some of them like a more voluptuous woman. Some like a thicker woman. But overall, being slender tends to be what I hear 90% of the time. And so why is this relevant? Because it's something that a lot of us actually can control. And I personally don't subscribe to the notion that we can't. Yes, there are certain, you know, things that are out of the realm of our control, right? I tend to be a little bigger boned. My mom is bigger boned. I have one sister who is very kind of thin naturally. And I have some, you know, another sister who's a little more curvy naturally, friends who are more curvy naturally. But overall, it's about looking like the best version of you. Are you showing up as the most attractive version of you? If you are single, the question you should be asking yourself is, why would I not? Why would I not? You know, there are so many things that make it easy now, easier to achieve the appearance of our dreams. And this is not something to sleep on. This is not something to neglect. I personally have gone through a massive glow up over the last couple of years simply because I decided that I wanted to learn more about beauty. I wanted to take it into my own hands. And, you know, it's not always the case that you have to undergo a bunch of plastic surgery or, you know, go on some crazy fitness restriction plan. But if you're not currently, you know, leading a healthy, active lifestyle and you are not physically showing up as the best version of you, then it's something to consider. You know, I used the Amal Clooney example before, so I'll bring it up again. She looks good. She looks great. And, you know, she could have been the smartest person that graduated at Oxford. She could be the most prominent lawyer, but if she didn't look good, George Clooney would not have pursued her. Okay. Trust me on that. Look at other powerhouse women who are with high value men, right? Carly Kloss, Ivanka Trump, Lauren Sanchez. Yeah. They are all objectively accomplished women, but they're also beautiful. And by the way, all these women have different body types. They're not all supermodels. Lauren Sanchez is petite and curvy, but she's also an Emmy award-winning news reporter. And she also had a big time career of her own, but she looks good. You might not like how she looks. That's not the question though. But she looks good for her body type. She looks like the best version of herself objectively. Same with Ivanka Trump. Same with Carly Kloss, right? Same with Amal Clooney. You know, these women, they're showing up correct. They're coming correct. And it doesn't always require you spending thousands of dollars. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'm going to put sneakers on and I'm going to go do my 10,000 steps a day. And I'm going to be consistent about it. I'm not going to eat after 6 p.m. I'm going to stop binge drinking, right? These little micro habits really will take you a long way. And again, it's up to you. You don't have to take this advice. You don't have to look like the best version of yourself. But then don't be surprised when men who are also trying to be the best versions of themselves aren't pursuing you. So it's just food for thought. You know, again, I hear it across the board. A lot of men like slender women. If you have 15 pounds to lose and you are really trying to get that guy that, you know, you say you want who is higher earning, I would just say, you know, to you, what I say to myself, and I mean this with love, and you do not have to do this, but I would just work on dropping the weight. I really would. Can you afford to let 15 or 20 pounds stand in between you and your relationship goals? Or even 60 pounds, right? And again, I have had clients, by the way, cry when I tell them this, get mad at me. My job as a coach, dating coach, is not to be my clients' friends. It is to help them get to where they want to be, to help them get results. You know, I had one client once, she was definitely obese. And she told me she wanted a guy, she was also in her mid-30s. She told me she wanted a guy who was very fit, childless. He had to be a certain religion. He had to be making over 150K a year. He had to be attractive. It's not unattainable to get a guy like that at all. But if you're not showing up as a fit person yourself, why would you think that a guy who is fit and making a lot of money would want to choose you over a woman who is, you know, hitting all of the prongs as far as high value women qualities go? And part of the reason, by the way, a lot of men ask for fit women, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a bodybuilder. In fact, I would say most of them do not want, you know, masculine looking women. The role of fitness also comes down to discipline, because they want to know that you are leading a disciplined life. You have routines in place. When you have kids, if you want kids with them, that you're going to have the routines that are going to keep you in shape. You're not just going to have a child and let all the baby weight get to you. And again, I know these types of topics can be triggering, and these are not comfortable conversations to hear. But maybe this is exactly the conversation you should be hearing. Maybe your friends aren't telling you or your parents aren't telling you. I know society wants to tell us the opposite. I know society likes to say, hey, you can be any size and get any guy you want. And frankly, you know, I personally don't believe in banking on being the exception to the rule. I think it's a lot easier to follow the formula. I'm telling you right now what I hear come out of the horse's mouth on a daily basis. A lot of these men will not tell you to your face, so I'll tell you. It does help to be fit and in shape. And again, for your body type, that does not mean being a size zero. That does not mean you need to look like Victoria Beckham. It just means being the best version of you physically. Like, I have lost about 25 pounds in the past few years. My weight ebbs and flows. I'm naturally not a super skinny person. Actually, obesity runs in my family. And I love to eat. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. But food and sugar is 100% my drug of choice. So it does take a lot of discipline. It does take, you know, sometimes establishing habits that make it easier to maintain a good weight. But what I can tell you is when I lost the weight, I not only felt more confident in my skin, I was able to finally, like, literally this year, it was the first year I actually felt comfortable not only wearing one-piece swimsuits, but actually wearing a bikini too. So there's the confidence aspect that comes with feeling really good in your skin. But yeah, the caliber of man that I was able to attract post-weight loss was definitely higher. I can just tell you that, like, girl to girl, honestly, it was way higher. So, you know, again, do what you feel most comfortable with. But if you don't have a fitness routine and you have unhealthy eating habits, or unhealthy drinking habits and lifestyle choices, really take a hard look at them and ask yourself, is this holding me back in dating and love? You know, for me too, I'll tell you, like, in full transparency, one of the reasons it took me so many years to lose the weight is because I had a weird fear that if I lost the weight, I would lose my sense of humor. I would lose my funniness. I somehow, like, correlated being thin and in shape to being bitchy. I don't know why. You can be who you are and still look good. In fact, I think it's actually really fun to look your best and be smart and be successful. Why not be the full trifecta? Again, in whatever capacity that makes the most sense for you. I'll take it a step farther too. Like, how you present yourself on social media will also convey to a man what kind of woman you are. Like, I hear it from guys all the time. Oh, she's got a hot body, but she looks naked in half her photos on social media. And yeah, those guys will definitely give those girls attention. High value men will still give those women attention, but they're putting them in a different box. They're putting them in the short-term situationship or hookup box. They're not putting them in the wifey box. If you want to be in the wifey box, it's also how you brand yourself on social media. I'd rather you have two photos on Instagram of you looking classy than 200 photos of you looking trashy. Think about the ladies I listed out earlier. Amal Clooney, Lauren Sanchez, Ivanka Trump, Carly Kloss, right? Anyone really that comes to mind, you know, who's married to a successful man, think about the way they're presenting themselves. Most likely they are gearing more toward the classy side. So obviously, you know, there are shades of gray, but you owe it to yourself to think about your digital footprint, ladies, because men are definitely looking at your Instagram. They're looking at the photos that you post and they are making a judgment call based on them. You know, there's a lot that is sometimes, what do they say? Like, a photo says 1,000 words or something. Just think about those things. And again, you don't have to do any of this, but I just, you know, as a dating coach and matchmaker, would be lying to you if I said this was not relevant and it didn't come up in my conversations every day with high value men. So with that, I'm going to take us to break. And then when we come back from the break, we are going to chat about the importance of having a good attitude and a friendly demeanor, because that's also a really big piece of the puzzle in terms of attracting a high value man. So stay with me and we'll talk all that and more when we come back from break. Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So as mentioned before we went to break, there's also a personality component that of course comes into play. Now, if you think about the experience of being on a dating app, most men are not going to be able to gauge your personality on a two-dimensional platform, right? They're looking at your bio, they're looking at your photos mostly, and they're making a judgment call, do I swipe right or do I swipe left? So you can't totally fault them. And, you know, the women who have a great personality but a bad profile or who are not visually alluring to these men aren't even going to get the chance to showcase their personality. But it doesn't change the fact that eventually, if you've already gotten the guy interested, he's going to want to get to know your personality. And if your personality stinks and you are negative and complaining, it's not going to get you very far. Actually, I have a story about this. I have a friend of mine who went on a ski trip, a very luxurious ski trip with a girl he was seeing over the holidays. And she was objectively gorgeous, very successful, feminine energy. And I said to him after the holidays, how was your trip? It looked amazing. He said, Nelly, she had such a bad attitude. She was so ungrateful. She was prima donna. Like basically her personality stunk. And so he cut it loose. Part of why I emphasize having a good attitude goes a long way. And by the way, even outside of dating, it goes a long way. Having a, you know, friendly, kind personality and being exuberant and optimistic. You think about the women who get successful guys to commit to them. Most of them, from what I've seen, unless that guy is more superficial and really only interested in kind of like the status of her looks and what that provides, they have good personalities. They are supportive. They are caring. They are kind. They are authentic and they're friendly. And so, you know, a lot of this goes back to really cleaning up your own life energetically as a woman and making sure that if there are things that are making you more negative and you're wondering why you haven't met that guy, well, it's probably because you're energetically repelling him. If you have trauma that is still heavy in your heart and is weighing you down, or you really don't like your job or where you live and, you know, that's causing you to be negative, then you got to work on cleaning up your side of the road first. And then you will attract in a guy who is great and has a good personality too, and retain him, by the way. So taking on a friendly personality is going to get you very far in dating and in relationships, especially. Again, it's not enough, and it doesn't even really matter if you're attracting great guys if your personality is pushing them away. So think about that. And if you don't know if you have a good personality or not, maybe it's worth pulling aside a good friend of yours and saying, hey, do you think that I'm nice? Like, can we actually have a conversation about this in an honest way? Like, or even a family member. Usually family is going to be a little more honest maybe than friends. You have to have a positive attitude. And I would even say an exuberant attitude. You know, be ultra optimistic, be smiley, be good vibes. And if you're not able to be good vibes, I'd rather you just remove yourself temporarily from other people as opposed to kind of spreading that, because it's not going to get you very far if you're, you know, around high value men and you're showing up as a negative Nancy. Also, you know, we talked about feminine energy at the beginning of the segment. I'm going to add on having good manners goes a really long way. If you weren't, for example, raised in an environment where you were taught good etiquette, maybe you didn't have role models who taught you good etiquette. And by the way, I'm going to add this too. You might not even know if you have bad etiquette. Most of the people I know who have bad manners, they're not aware of it. I would suggest really studying. You can go on YouTube. You can even take a class on this. Studying etiquette, studying good manners. I've met so many women who are beautiful and funny, and they have a good upbeat personality, and they are somewhat like agreeable, but their manners suck. And if they're on a date or they're in an environment where you have to, you know, be poised and elegant and you have to have good etiquette, these women are just embarrassing to be around sometimes. So take it upon yourself to have good manners. And the easiest way to do this, you know, at a high level, don't swear, you know, clean up your potty mouth. Try not to ask probing and prying questions. Be delicate with your movement and your manners, you know, at a table, especially. Understand like the different forks, the different knives. Learn how to kind of speak in a calm and elegant manner. Look at people who do have good manners, right? A lot of the times you can look at people in politics or people in the royal family. You know, typically those people are actually trained to have good etiquette and manners. Study those people. And again, if you have to take a course on it, study it on YouTube. It really does go a long way, especially if you're trying to break into a higher realm of society. They are not going to put up with bad manners. So again, you don't have to do these things if you don't want to. But I personally think, especially if you're looking to land a high value man, it really never hurts to have the best manners and show up as the best version of yourself physically and have an upbeat personality and an agreeable demeanor, right? It sounds like common sense when I say it, but you'd be surprised how many women would actually listen to this episode and be probably pretty furious with some of the things I'm saying, because it feels like defeat. It goes against the recent cultural movement that has been sweeping society and telling women that actually, you know, you should be just be who you are. Well, where's that getting you? Right? How far is that getting you? I speak to these guys all the time after dates. And trust me, they pick up on these things. They pick up on manners. One guy actually, he was telling me about a date he went on where the woman said to him, let's get the most expensive caviar. They were at dinner and she ordered like a whole tin of caviar at dinner. Or it's like the girl who sits down at dinner and she orders the lobster. Look, you can order what you want, but it's just not really classy, right? If someone invites you to a dinner to order the most expensive thing on the menu. So think about these things in the context of your dating life. And if your attitude is, well, I could just pay for the lobster myself, like, then why are you on the date? You want the guy to pay for you on the date, I'm sure, right? And he probably will if he's a high value, classy man. But again, read the room. Read the room, understand etiquette, understand manners. It will get you a heck of a long way in dating. I could talk a lot more on this. So if you guys want me to kind of do a second segment of this episode, feel free to leave a comment on YouTube or send me a message on Instagram. I'm more than happy to do so. And by the way, if you're enjoying the High Value Dating podcast, please leave a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening to this. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. It really means a lot. If you have a question that you would like me to address on a future episode, you can always send me a voice note on Instagram. And I think that's a good place to land. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I really enjoy talking about these topics, and I will chat with you in the next episode. Sending you love and abundance. Bye, guys.
Pioneer.